Vayikre is in Chelek Yud, volume 10 of Likud HaSichos. On the Pasuk Vayetze Yaakov Mebe'er Shova, the Medrash says, Yaakov left Be'er Shova, Mebe'er Shol Shrua. Yaakov left Be'er Shova because he wanted to get away from the Shrua, from the promise. Omar Yaakov, Yaakov thought or said, Shelo Yamid Alei Avimelech, he left Be'er Shova so that Avimelech will not insist, V'yeimar Yishova Li K'shem Shenishba Li Zkenecha. Make a swear to me, or make a treaty with me, as did your grandfather. And if I did that, if I made this treaty, if I entered this covenant with Avimelech, then I would delay the joy of my children for seven generations. And what that means is that when Avraham promised, made a deal, a pact with Avimelech, a peace treaty, because of that peace treaty, it says that the Jewish people's entry into the land of Israel was delayed seven generations, because there were seven generations from Avraham until Moshe Rabbeinu fought the war with Oig and Sichin and captured their land. Then Yitzchak also made a treaty with Avimelech and delayed the settling into Eretz Yisrael seven generations, which means he added another generation, since he was one generation after Avram. So seven generations from Yitzchak was when Yeshua finally settled the land. So Yaakov was afraid that if he stayed in Be'er Sheva by Avimelech, that Avimelech would have him enter into a peace treaty with him, and that would delay the settling into Eretz Yisrael of his children another generation. That's what the Medrash says. So now we need to understand, since both Avraham and Yitzchak did make a peace treaty with Avimelech, and they were not concerned, they didn't hesitate, they were not worried about the Jewish people settling into Eretz Yisrael generation later, seven generations later, and they didn't leave in order to avoid making that peace treaty. So why Dafke Yaakov was afraid of entering into a peace treaty with Avimelech? And on the other hand, how is it that Avraham and Yitzchak were not worried or concerned with the delay of the settling into Israel that would put off the joy of their children for seven generations? We find the difference in the levels and in the service of Avraham and Yitzchak compared to the level and service of Yaakov. And in this distinction, we will understand also why they differed in their approach to Avimelech. Avraham, it says, Yotza mimenu Yishmael, that Yishmael came out of Avraham, and Yitzchak Yotza mimenu Esav, and Esav came out of Yitzchak. Yotza mimenu, which means that Yishmael and Esav, although they were the children of Avraham and Yitzchak, but Yotzu, they left, they went away from their connection to their fathers and went off on their own path, and an unholy path. And that's because the holiness of Avraham and Yitzchak and their manner in which they served God did not reach their children, or these children, and did not affect the change in them for the good. But concerning Yaakov, it says that the greatness of Yaakov was that mitosei shleima, that all his children were tzaddikim, which means that his form of avodah, that his form of service, and that his holiness reached and affected all of his children, so that they were all tzaddikim. And although all of the patriarchs, all of the Avis, Avraham, Yitzchak, as well as Yaakov, all of them were the absolute state of holiness, the Merkava, and each one of them, their neshama was untainted by their birth, by their coming into the world, yet there's a difference in how they pursued holiness. Yaakov primarily worked at elevating and refining and purifying the physical world, whereas Avram and Yitzchak, their Aveda was more a spiritual Aveda. And that's why, even though Yishmael, according to the Gemara, did Tshuva, and according to some opinions, Esav also did Tshuva, when he kissed Yaakov, he meant it at that time, he meant it sincerely, but in both cases, their Tshuva didn't last. And although Avram and Yitzchak also elevated the world, affected the world, as we find, Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem Keil Olam, Al Tikra Vayikra Ela Vayakri, that the Torah tells us that Avraham taught the people, the passers-by, the nomad, he taught them about God, and so also with Yitzchak. When Yitzchak dug the wells, it is explained in Chassidus that the digging of the wells means bringing out the holiness, bringing up the living waters in a place that is a desert, bringing godliness to a desert. Yet, their effect on the unholy was that they silenced the unholy. They rejected the unholy, so that the unholy did not interfere with holiness. The unholy people did not interfere with the holy people when they were doing their avodah. But no change occurred, no essential transformation happened to the unholy itself, and they did not become holy. So their relationship, Avraham and Yitzchak, their relationship with unholiness was in that they rejected it and silenced it, so that it not interfere. Whereas Yaakov had a more positive and a more internal effect on the unholy, in that he transformed it, elevated it, and refined it, and turned it into holiness. This is similar to the distinction between tzaddikim and balei tshuva. The tzaddik has no real relationship with unholiness, not even with an unholy thought, which doesn't occur to them of their own, as is explained in Tanya, whereas the balei tshuva had a relationship, a connection to evil, to unholiness, and turned it into Kedusha through their tshuva, because the zdeinos nasa lekezochyes. The sins of the past become like mitzvahs. And so, in the Aveda of Avram and Yitzchak, in rejecting the evil and silencing the evil, the existence of evil was not undone. The evil continued to exist. It's only their behavior that was changed. And so it remains possible, since the unholy remains unholy, it remains possible that eventually in their children, in Yishmael and in Esav, there should remain also an unholiness that was not elevated or refined through their parents' holiness. And so there was eventually a rebellion, and Yishmael yotza from Avraham, and Esav was Yotza from Yitzchak. But what we see is that both Yishmael and Esav didn't do anything to interfere with the Aveda, with the service, with the mitzvahs, with the godliness and the lifestyle of Avraham and Yitzchak. They were respectful of their parents' godliness. So, at any rate, the essence of the unholiness itself, the klipa itself, when it has no relationship with holiness, which brings the benefit that it doesn't interfere with holiness, but at the same time, because it has no relationship, then the holiness does not affect it internally and does not transform it into Kedusha. And we find, for example, by Avraham, that Avraham lived among the Bnei Ches. And they even recognized him as Messiah Likim B'Secheinu. They recognized him as a great man, a holy man, a godly man, and yet we don't find anywhere that his living there and being among the Bnei Ches, that he changed them or transformed them in any way, and they remained Bnei Ches, even after Avram had been there. And the fact that they sold him the Ma'aret HaMachpelah so that he could bury Sarah, that was only that they didn't obstruct his Aveda, They didn't get in the way of what Avraham needed to do, needed to accomplish. They allowed Avraham to be as godly as he wanted. But they did not become godly at all. Whereas with Yaakov, the whole purpose of Yaakov's Avodah, the devotion of Yaakov's Avodah was to elevate and to refine and to bring the unholy to holiness. Which means that when he got through with the unholy, there was no klipa left. There was no unholiness left. And that reflected in his children, in that all of his children were tzaddikim. This can explain why Avraham and Yitzchak made a peace treaty with Avimelech. The Avimelech representing unholiness. So this promise and this treaty that they made with Avimelech was that one should not interfere with the other. That holiness and unholiness should not interfere with each other. And that was accomplished in that Avimelech was silenced in his objection to holiness so that the holiness could proceed without interference. But on the other hand, the essence of Avimelech, the very fact that he was unholy, remained and continued to exist. So that was Avraham and Yitzchak's Avodah. Whereas with Yaakov, since his devotion was to completely undo the klipa, not only to silence it, and that's through denying the unholy and through transforming the unholy, therefore he could not make such an agreement, could not make such a peace treaty with Avimelech, because that would leave Avimelech in his original unholy existence. And that goes against Yaakov's grain to make peace with unholiness, even if that silences the unholiness and removes its objection and its resistance to holiness. So then we go on, and the Torah says, "Vayetze Yaakov me'Be'er Sheva vayelech chadona." Yaakov left Be'er Sheva. Yaakov left that level or that state in which you can promise, make a deal with unholiness, that the unholiness should not interfere with holiness. That Yaakov left and rejected. So where did he go when he left Be'er Sheva? He went Chazana. He went to a place that is described as Chazen Af Shel Olam. He went into the unholiness of the world. Because by going out of Be'er Sheva, which means godliness free of the interference of unholiness, by rejecting that level of Avodah, that type of Avodah, he pursued his kind of Avodah, and that is to go down into the unholiness and there bring about a transformation. So the fact that Avraham and Yitzchak did make a peace treaty with Avimelech, and that resulted in the delay of the coming into Eretz Yisrael, 7 generations, that doesn't mean that because they made the peace treaty, they were punished in some way, that the coming into Eretz Yisrael was delayed. It wasn't from the peace treaty, or because of the peace treaty, that the delay resulted, but rather from what had not happened. The fact that they made the peace treaty didn't delay the coming into Israel. What delayed the coming into Israel is that they didn't do more than make the peace treaty. Since they hadn't really transformed the unholy into holy, they hadn't really changed the essence of Klippa, but allowed it to remain in existence, only weakened or softened into silence. That's why it took 7 more generations before Jews can go into the land of Canaan and turn it into Eretz Yisrael. So it's what wasn't happening and not what Avraham and Yitzchak did. So the question, how could Avraham and Yitzchak make a peace treaty knowing that it's going to delay their children entering Israel? The answer is that it's not the peace treaty that delayed it. It's simply the fact that the Avodah of Avraham and Yitzchak didn't do enough to change the physical world to make it possible for Jews to settle into Israel. Only with Yaakov, when he went down into Chazen Afshal Mokim Ba'olam. When he allowed himself to reach down into the unholiness of the world in order to change it internally, permanently, thoroughly, only then did the world become ready for the Jews to be able to settle into Eretz Yisrael. And the same is true also in the future, that through the Aveda of Yaakov, during these years of Golos, where we elevate and we refine the most unholy parts of the world and bring it to holiness, through this we will merit the third Beis HaMikdash. And the third Beis HaMikdash is also unique in this fashion, that Avraham referred to the Beis HaMikdash as the mountain of God, Yitzchak referred to it as the field, the Sadeh, Yaakov referred to it as the house, a house representing a permanent, the third Beis HaMikdash that will be permanent, the Biyat Mashiach Tekena. In Chelek Gimel, in volume 3 of Likutei Sichos on Parsha Vayetze, the Rebbe quotes the Medrash on the Pasuk Vayishkav Bamokim Ahu, that Yaakov came to the place and the sun set and he slept there. So the Torah seems to be saying that he slept there to the exclusion of sleeping anywhere else. So the Medrash says Kan Shochav, here Yaakov slept. Aval kol yud dalit shana shohayatom on the base Ever Le Shochav, but the 14 years that Yaakov spent studying in the yeshiva of Ever, there he didn't sleep at all. Another explanation, the Medrash says, is that here Yaakov slept, but the 20 years that he worked for Lavan in Lavan's house, there he did not sleep. So the question is, the 14 years that he spent in the yeshiva, the fact that he didn't sleep there, that's understandable. He didn't sleep because he was devoted to the study of Torah. But why would he have such mesiras nefesh? Why would he go to such length in the house of Lavan taking care of the sheep that he wouldn't sleep for 20 years? But according to what we said before, this would be understandable. When Yaakov went to Chazon, he went there in order to elevate the unholiness of the world. And that is to take holiness as it is captured in Lavan and to release it from its captivity and bring it back to its source, so that the hidden holiness in the unholy should be released and brought back to holiness. And that's why he didn't sleep the entire time that he was there, because he had to constantly be awake and alert to the resistance that he got from Lavan, to Lavan's resistance to holiness. Lavan's argument to Yaakov was that his children and the future generations don't belong to him. He said, in effect, you are a traditional Jew. You were raised this way. And so, this is what is expected of you. You are of an older generation, of an earlier time, and you can live a life of Torah and spend day and night studying and doing mitzvahs. You can do whatever you want. But how can you expect this of your children? Your children are born to the modern time. They belong to the modern time. As Lavan, in fact, said, Habonis b'neisai v'habonim bonai. The daughters are my daughters and the sons are my sons. They belong to my world. This was Lavan's claim. They are young. Why do you want to burden them with the yoke of Torah and mitzvahs? So if you want to teach them Yiddishkeit in a modern way, on a modern level, that's fine. But why all this heaviness and seriousness of Torah and mitzvahs? The same is also true that Lavan argued for Hatzein Tzeini, that even the sheep belong to me. This means that Lavan was saying that when it comes to spiritual things, you decide how to do it because that's where you're the expert. But when it comes to physical things, when it comes to sheep, here I am the expert. And if you want to make sheep, if you want to make money, if you want to make a living, then you have to do it my way. Because when it comes to the physical, I am the expert. So Lavan was saying that when it comes to business, you can't stop and worry about every detail of the laws of honesty and proper ethics and so on. You have to play the game the way the game is played, so that you have to indulge in a little bit of exaggeration and competition and taking advantage of other people's weaknesses and so on, in order to make a living. And for this, Yaakov had to stay awake. He had to have a serious message that he didn't sleep the entire time that he was there. Not only in his concern for his spiritual well-being, but also in his concern for accomplishing what needs to be accomplished with the world around him, meaning, firstly, his children, and secondly, his sheep. So that this claim that the children belong to Lavan and that the sheep belong to Lavan had to be undone, and even Lavan had to be convinced that it wasn't so. Now we'll also understand what the Medrash goes on to say about Yaakov, that he didn't sleep the 20 years that he was there by Lavan. Then the Medrash says, "Uma hoya imer." What was Yaakov saying during those years when he wasn't sleeping? And the Medrash says he was saying the 15 chapters of Tehillim that begin with Shir HaMalis. Or another opinion there in the Medrash is that he was saying the entire Tehillim. As it says, "Va'ata Kodesh Yeshev Tehillim Yisrael," that Yisrael, referring to Yaakov, was sitting and saying the Tehillim. So we need to understand this, because the question itself, "Ma Haya Emes," what was Yaakov saying during those 20 years, needs explanation, because in the simple literal meaning of the Torah, he didn't sleep for 20 years because he was busy taking care of the sheep, not because he was saying something. So obviously, we see from this that to stay up and not sleep for 20 years in order to take care of sheep was not what Yaakov's Aveda was all about. Instead, as we said before, he was awake because of his Aveda, because of his devotion to elevating the divine spark, the holiness that was trapped or entrapped by Lavan, and the constant struggle against Lavan and against his resistance to holiness. That's what kept him awake. So the Medrash asks the question, "Ma hoya emer?" What was Yaakov saying? The Medrash is asking, what gave Yaakov the strength to succeed in such an impossible task? How was it that living in Lavan's house, living in Lavan's world, he was not only not affected by Lavan, not dragged down or discouraged in his Aveda by Lavan, but in fact was able to elevate the holiness that existed in Lavan. So we need to know, where did he get the strength from? And that's what the Medrash is asking, "Ma hoya emer?" What did he say that gave him strength? Where did he draw the strength from? And the Medrash answers that he got it from the Tehillim, from the Shir HaMalis. In the Shir HaMalis we read, "May ayin yovei ezri," which the simple meaning is, "From where will my salvation come, my help? Where will I get help from?" But on a deeper level, "May ayin" means from my own bittul, from my own insignificance. Yaakov knew that with his own efforts and by his own talent, he could not accomplish what he had set out to accomplish. And in that humility, in that bittul, "May ayin," from that feeling of nothingness, "yovei ezri," that's where the strength came from. Because he knew that God had to help him, and that the blessing had to come from God. Ezri me'im Hashem, that the help comes from God, to such a degree that Eisei Shamayim v'Oretz, that he was able to affect not only Shamayim, not only spiritual things, not only was he able to maintain his own holiness, but also Eretz. He was able to affect the world of Chazon, the world of Lavan, and bring out the holiness that was buried there as well. And so we see from all of this that before a Jew attempts to change the world, he has to know two things. First of all, he has to spend a lot of time absorbed in the world of Torah. Before he goes out into the world of Chazon, he has to be awake, as Yaakov was awake for 14 years, studying, absorbing Torah, or being absorbed in the world of Torah. And also in the world of davening, as we find, Vayivga Bamokim, the Gemara says that meant that he davened there. The Yaakov was absorbed, immersed in the world of Torah and in the world of davening for a long time before he attempted to take on the world of Chodon and the world of Lavan. And the second thing is that even when you are already in the world of Chodon, you're out there trying to make a living, you're dealing with the world, and you're trying to elevate the world, you have to remember to say Tehillim, or things of that sort, to be connected and to draw strength from above, knowing that only through the Eibishter's blessing can we accomplish and succeed in the physical. The same is true also on a daily basis. Not only in the course of a life, but on each day. Each day has to begin before we go out into the world of Chodon, and before we take on the physical world, we first have to daven and learn the daily portions of Torah that we are capable of learning, and be immersed in that part of the day, and absorb the attitude and the flavor and the inspiration of Torah, so that we can go into the world and into the business part of our day without dragging our mind and soul into the business, but to do it only with our hands. Yigias katecha, only the hands are involved in the physical world, while the mind and the heart are still connected to the Tehillim or to the Tanya or to the Chumash that was the beginning of the day. And only in that way can we hope to accomplish the Aveda of B'chol D'rachecha Do'ehu, that wherever we go and whatever we do in the physical world, we bring with us an awareness, Do'ehu, an awareness of God's presence, an awareness of the purpose for which we are going into Chazon. Not only not to lose the holiness that we have and that we absorbed at the beginning of the day and at the beginning of our lives, but in fact to bring that knowledge and that awareness into the world and to make the world a dira lo yisbarech b'tachtayinu.